Hi, this is Pastor Greg. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chosen Generation Radio. When God called me to start this program 8 years ago, He led me to address three main topics while discussing current events through a biblical lens. I knew this was not supposed to be a preaching program, as there are a number of those on the radio. My calling was to address the LGBTQ agenda, Islam, and secular humanism. Just some non-controversial stuff. Secular humanism, which simply stated says man is the center and human reason has all the answers, and to leave God out of it. This indoctrination is really at the core of the shift in understanding America's founding, Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. By removing God and biblical values, it's easy to see how gender dysphoria, unnatural sexual desires, and embracing a confused 7th century belief that rejects life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, namely Islam, a militant, geopolitical, totalitarian, and brutal regime, has taken root. I believe God has chosen this generation to ignite the passion to advance the radical message of the gospel and to once again establish America as the salt and light through which the message is advanced. Each segment applies that principle, no matter the topic. But how do we become this secular, democratic, non-theistic, top-down country run by a combination of demagoguery and elitism? I would suggest we examine our history. At America's founding, we had been oppressed by a tyrant king, claimed he actually spoke for God, and claimed a divine right monarchy. In order to set people free from these kind of despot leaders, one must reconnect the people with the one who grants all freedom. And so, preachers in the mid-1700s challenged the Christians in America to decide whom they should serve. Who was their king? Was it a man on a throne across the sea? Or was it the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? You cannot serve two masters. As the founders fermented in this, they began to see the need to create a new kind of country, a nation that valued life and recognized God as the author, who had been set free to liberty in Christ and to pursue abundant life. No, these weren't pieces on a board passed to one and not to another, as John Locke suggested, but rather they were a very part of who being American was, a concept only understood through biblical glasses as a blood-bought son of God and heir to the promise. So why are Christians so docile? You see, we live in a world filled with sin that has taken a stand to call God the enemy. We are children of God, heirs to the promise, yet we stand idly by as our brothers and sisters are slaughtered and our children's innocence is destroyed. Where's the anger and the rage at such atrocities? Jesus said it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus warned them not to cause harm or offense to the little ones, to the least of these. It would be better than a millstone were cast around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. That's not docile in the face of offense being done to children. This is Jesus speaking, the one that they say only speaks soft, lovely words. Or what about these verses? If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Wow. To the leaders of the church, he says, you are sons of the devil. You are deaf and unable to hear or understand the words of God because you do not know him. Yet day after day, Christians sit back silently while little boys are chemically castrated, while children's minds are violated in a comprehensive sex education curriculum, while they are taught that America equals Christianity equals all white people are bad and they should be ashamed. Let's be clear. If you believe in the truth of the Bible, then you believe that all are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. That God in his grace and mercy, while we were his enemies doing all forms of vile behavior, sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins, to lay down his perfect and sinless life as a human being, having set aside his divine nature to become a man so he could take our place and overcome sin and death on the cross. Jesus the Christ shed his blood, died on the cross, rose the third day, set free the captives, presented himself to the disciples and to several thousand, and then ascended to heaven, at which point the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to lead us into all truth. Ultimately, then, we understand that sin is the issue and the nature of man. The key then is a confession of faith in God through Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sin. I believe that we have been called, and it is the purpose of Chosen Generation Radio to raise up a generation to take back this nation, to reestablish a constitutional republic with Jesus Christ at its core, providing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, and once again advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, we are live at CPAC 2021, Dallas, Texas. And very pleased to have my next guest with me. He is running for Congress in the Phoenix area. And, of course, we welcome our audience from KXEG to joining us here on Chosen Generation Radio. I want to welcome to the program Alex Stovall. Alex, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you. And it's a blessing and an honor to be here, Greg.
Thank you. Well, so tell me, first of all, tell me a little bit about your background so the audience kind of gets a feel for who you are, and then some of your goals for your congressional district and the needs that you see.
Of course, thank you. So I'm an Arizonan. I lived in 57 different locations in the state of Arizona. So
wow.
I know places by zip code. I'm very passionate about it. I went to Hamilton High School and graduated, but I also went to six other high schools in addition to that. So I'm very passionate about school choice. I went to a lot of public schools, and I didn't really learn much in the public school. So I'm very, very passionate about school choice,
okay,
because it changed my life. Secondly, I would talk about finishing the border, because there are a lot of veterans that are in need that aren't being taken care of, yet we have a representative party that is neglecting our troops. The integration phase is challenging. As a current service member and a veteran, I understand the integration phase and how challenging it can be.
Sure.
And then thirdly, I would say financial literacy. We need to take the power back from those that are appointed over us and give it back to the people. They adhere to the Constitution. They are appointed by the American people. They should be doing their due diligence to make sure they're connected. And I look forward to being elected and bridging that gap.
What are some of those financial challenges on an education level? Because that's what we're really talking about here, right? Is making sure that people have educational opportunities so that they can then take advantage of the American dream.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the goal. So talk to me about some of the things where you're seeing the failing in the area that we're discussing.
Of course. So one of the things we're currently doing is I'm a financial coach, so I help people understand the stock market.
Okay.
I help them understand the value of a dollar. I was taught by, as many would say, a white supremacist from the Republican Party that taught me how to understand the stock market, follow trends. So coming from the inner city community and growing up in Section 8 housing, low-income housing, I understand that a lot of our community, a lot of minorities, not just blacks, not just Hispanics, but Asians, and Caucasian as well, we struggle with understanding passive income and what it actually means. A lot of people think capitalism is bad in itself, but don't understand that most people have some sort of capital. They just may not have a lot of capital. But I started in the stock market with $150. So I'm very passionate about teaching the inner city community and kids that are my age as well how to take power and ownership of their money. God's entrusted us with this. And being on a biblical talk show, I think it's important to understand, don't let your talents go to waste. And God gives wisdom freely to those who go out and ask. Closed mouths don't get fed. So I'm very big on teaching financial literacy.
What would you say that your opponent, his approach has been when you consider minorities? Because that's their message. Their message is that that minorities are oppressed, minorities don't have opportunities, and it's all a certain group's fault that situation exists. What would you say to those that are where you were? I've done a lot of traveling, been in a lot of things, was definitely not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. But what would you say to them relative to overcoming that mental block?
Yeah. So first and foremost, being a chaplain in the Army, I say do what God has called you to do. If you allow what you do to define who you are, you've missed your calling. So as intentional Christ followers, we have to understand that we are who God has called us to be. And God has called us to be prosperous. We're a prosperous nation. There's unlimited prosperity around us. We just have to take ownership of it. God has given us everything we need. So I think that's first and foremost. And then secondly, I would say understanding and getting educated. There's a lot of knowledge on these so-called cell phones that we have. So by default, we can't really make excuses saying we don't understand something. If we don't understand something, we go to the source and we try and find it. We have to be more intentional and take accountability and ownership of these things. So I think those that are out there that grew up in the projects like I did, grew up in an inner city community such as Chirac or Detroit or places like that that have a little bit more challenging a deficit, if you will. Understanding there is opportunity. We lack opportunity, but there is opportunity. This is America. You have to go out and get it. We're not giving handouts. We're giving hand ups. So if you're willing to do some of the footwork as God has called us to do, the opportunities will present themselves.
Talk to me about that climate, because Arizona is its own unique personality, if you will. What is different in Arizona than some of those other places that you mentioned, like Detroit and so forth?
Of course. So going back to what you mentioned about the current incumbent that's sitting in the seat, that's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Not going to mention his name because I'm not going to give him political clout,
publicity,
if you will.
There you go.
Yes. But what I will say is he's very out of touch with the community. I've never seen him. I've never seen him in the strips. I've never seen him in inner city communities. But where I do see him is on the radio, on TV, or when it's convenient. It seems to me like the representatives that have currently been elected only want to show up when it's convenient or they have something to gain. That's not being a servant. So we need more servants in the community. So
representative republic.
Right.
What our founding fathers intended that we should have.
Almost like it was too sensical to be true. So, yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. Now, you mentioned that you are in the service yourself.
Correct.
And you're currently a chaplain as well.
Chaplain candidate by paper, yes.
Got it.
I will accession in August.
All right. Now, so how did you make the decision to join the service? And by the way, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, growing up, like I said, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, very dynamic. I think that's what also makes Arizona so unique. There's a very dynamic group of people there. It's a melting pot.
Okay.
You're not going to have one cookie cutter version of somebody that's in the inner city community. You have Middle Easterns, you have Africans, you have Caucasians, you have people that are Black American. You have people that are Caucasian, Asian American. There's a melting pot of people. But one thing I do know about primarily in the inner city communities is in those little pockets, you do have people that are looking for opportunities to better themselves and make a better life for their families. That's really what it comes down to, right?
Right.
Making sure the future generation is better equipped it. So that's a big thing, I think, in the Arizona community versus California, Detroit, where everybody's kind of crabs in a bucket, if you will.
Right. And so you had the opportunity to join the service.
Yes. So it was either do that or play football or gangbang, as you will.
Sure, understood.
A lot of my cousins and brothers went that route just by default because that's what we knew. But that isn't all we have to know.
Well, it's this is the problem, I think, when you consider the difference between the two parties' philosophies and ideologies as well. You're pigeonholed.
Yes.
When the Democrats are in control, you're pigeonholed. They want to pretend that they're not racist, but they actually are very racist.
Of course.
And they're pushing that, you know, black Americans,
agenda,
Hispanic
yes.
Americans, what have you, minorities.
So let's just say this.
Yeah.
If we start to apply race and pervert it, if that's where we get to where we're at. Race is important. It's not going anywhere. But if you actually look at history, race was based off of region. It wasn't based off of color. The Democratic Party created this narrative that color was a big thing. You had white supremacy, you had white superiority, and then you have extremists on the African American side that believe, oh, blacks were the original Israelites, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to go into all the philosophy of that, but I think when you deter from the truth because you have your own man-made ideologies, that's where we get lost in the sauce. So being involved with school choice is paramount. Educating and empowering our next generation, that's where I'm drawing this to home. It's important, very important. Our people perish because of lack of knowledge, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, may I ask how old you are?
Yes, 26.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And you know, I think that it's critically important that our younger generation get engaged and get involved. Talk to me about how you're able to bring that younger generation in. And I know, my daughter here is 21. And so I know there's a lot of questions that she has, whether it's LGBT or just different questions that exist that are, you know, for someone, I'm going to be 60 next year, right?
You look good, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. But, you know, for my generation, it's a different story, say, than it is the questions. And a lot of that has to do, as you mentioned, with the educational foundation, right? Because, you know, if you've been indoctrinated to believe certain things, then you've got to break that paradigm open in order to receive new concepts and new ideas.
Correct. If we keep doing the same things we've always done, we will never be anything than what we always have been. That's what I tell people that come and interact with me. Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because as a man of God, you have to learn how to be submissive, also be meek, and adhere to what God has called you to do. I don't live my life for myself. I live it because my body is offered as a living sacrifice. Once again, this is a Christian radio, so we have to understand that scripture should be applicable in everything that we do.
Well, and it doesn't matter even if it's not Christian radio. Even if it's secular radio, that's the problem to
Thank
me.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. it's just, but the thing is, you know, everybody wants to put Christianity in this little tiny box and say, well, these are your boundaries. Don't step outside of them. Except that they forget that the earth is the fullness.
Yes.
Right? It's God's. All of this belongs to God. The very breath that each you and I and everyone listening is taking is because God allows that breath to be taken.
Amen.
He's the one who puts the oxygen in the air. You know, he's the one, even the materials. We can say, well, he didn't sew the shirt. Well, no, he didn't sew the shirt. But every thread and everything that created that thread, God created.
We're going to have to ask somebody to pass a collection plate around. We're getting hot, man.
But it's, and so I think it's important too, you know, because I'm sure that as both a chaplain and a Christian, you'll have people that are going to say, well, you know, what are you going to bring your religion with you? Well, I hope that you do, brother, because actually Christianity is the most fair of every religion that there is out there because Our thing is, hey, we've set before you life and death. We want you to choose life. We're going to love you no matter what you choose. But ultimately understand that we're also going to tell you the truth about the choice that you're making.
Right. I have a lot of friends that live in the world. Jesus hung out with prostitutes, right?
Yeah.
He hung out with Pharisees, but that was a different discussion. Mm. When I look at those stories, I don't see it as Jesus looking down on them. I see it as him bringing perspective. If we, like you said, if we put Jesus in a box, we put our God in a box, that's where we lose sight. And I'm sorry, as a Democrat, I was a walk away.
Hang on 1 second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Alex Stouffville, running for Congress in Arizona. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow. And after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today, 800-544-8939. 800-544-8939. 8939. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call my pillow today, 800-544-8939.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit mypillow.com.
Now back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, and I am here at CPAC 2021. We're live in Dallas, Texas, and I am joined by Alex Stouffville. He is running for Congress in Arizona. And our listeners in KXEG there in Phoenix, Arizona, have an opportunity to support him. Tell us your website, and then we'll go into.
Yes, so I'm running in Phoenix, Arizona, Congressional District 9. My website is alexforarizonaisspelledout.com.
Okay, alexforarizonaisspelledout.com. alexforarizonaisspelledout.com. We're talking about the importance. Now, there's two things here that I think are critical to talk about is reaching the younger audience, getting them engaged, getting them started. And you were about to tell me that you were a Democrat and you had some epiphanies. So let's hit that. We got about 3 minutes left. Go for it.
Outstanding. So I was a walkaway from the Democratic Party and I actually voted for Clinton. We all make mistakes, right? But at the end of the day, a lot of people that vote Democratic or that are a part of the minority community say this, well, it's all I knew. It goes back to people perish because of lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Schools and public school installations, as I'll call them, do not teach this. We're only taught a certain extent of stuff. But God calls us to be so much more enlightened.
Yes.
When I walked away from the Democratic Party, I said to myself, at the point of conception is where life begins. We can't make and decipher, although I won't tell a person what to do, because you mentioned that earlier, what to do with their life, but I will present the truth to them and say, you make that decision and do with it what you will. But that for me was my turning point. You can't truly be a Democrat Christian. You can't, because the ideologies are completely contradictory to what Christ preaches us to apply and be applicable in our lives.
And those kinds of thought processes are the ones that actually create opportunity
yes.
for the people that you want to help represent.
Yes.
As you mentioned earlier in our interview, the opportunity to give a hand up, not a hand out.
Yes.
So now, let's just take a quick, we've got about a minute left. Give me a picture. Alex Stovall is now the congressional representative for District 9 of Arizona, and he goes to Washington, D.C. First three things you do.
Yes, so I would say first and foremost, finishing the wall. That needs to get done. We need to have a process and a merit bill for those entering. Secondly, I would say school choice is a huge thing. We need to, it's the fastest growing establishment going on right now. School, online schooling, a $2 billion corporation, if you will, right? And then thirdly, creating opportunities in the inner city communities. We have got to start occupying these vacant buildings and these vacant lots with more community activities and things to get our kids involved, get them open-minded, get them the right ideologies and give them a future, give them inspiration.
Hope.
Hope.
Give them hope. Alex, thank you for stopping by and visiting with us today. Again, Alex for F-O-R, Congress. I'm sorry, AlexForArizona.com. I'm already in Congress with you, brother. AlexForArizona.com. AlexForArizona.com. Be sure and check it out, and I'm sure he could use some help as well. So if you got a few extra $5 or $10 lying around, give him a hand. AlexForArizona.com. This is Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, live from CPAC 2021. Back with more after this.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't worry, you can still get a healthcare program by signing up at Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, we are not insurance, so you can still sign up. You can pick your program, choose your own doctors and hospitals. We have programs for singles, couples, and families, all with no contract, starting at only $349 per month. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg.
Now back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. It is really great. We're down here at CPAC 2021, and we are live on Radio Row and just meeting some truly incredible individuals, and very pleased to have my next guest with me. He is the CEO of the New Journey Pack, and he is a featured speaker here at CPAC. I want to welcome Autry Pruitt to the program. Autry, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg. I'm so glad to be on board.
I'm glad to have you with me. Well, talk to me a bit about what your organization is focused on,
yeah,
and some of the things that you hope to accomplish here at CPAC.
Well, so our organization, New Journey, is a family of organizations, New Journey PAC, New Journey Action, and a 501c3. We educate and inform, and then the PAC's job is to move black voters from blue to red. But it's a long-term job. We do it in the long term. And what we hope to accomplish at CPAC and what we are accomplishing is meeting like minds, networking with individuals who can help us and we can help them. For example, we don't really do voter registration. We've done a little bit of it, but we don't really do that. And we found an outfit here that has an amazing voter registration capability. And so we've linked with them and engaged with them and then been able to implement what they're doing in cities where we're focused. So that's the bottom line of what we do, moving black voters.
So talk to me about what are the top challenges relative to, because,
okay,
you know, voting Democrat,
yeah,
right?
red, brown, yellow, black, or white, but in the black community in particular, I've got pastor friends that are like, man, I believe everything you're doing, brother. I'm behind you 100%. But if I said that from my pulpit, I'd lose 90% of my parishioners. Yeah. I can't come out and say what I really think, what I really believe. What are the indoctrinated challenges that you're facing or that you do face as you try to help unwind that?
Well, the biggest challenge actually that we face is a lack of knowledge that people perish. We face a lack of knowledge of persons and people. So what I tell people is don't engage politically, engage people as human beings.
Okay.
So what I like to have people do and what we do is just go into the community. I begged the RNC to do this, and they didn't. I said, listen, you should go into every black community and just open up an RNC office, but not for political reasons. You'll use it for political reasons eventually. Right. But what you should do, and just engage with the community.
Get to know them.
Just help out. Get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, listen, whatever you need in the community, come here. We'll help you figure out. So you get an entrepreneur that comes in and says, hey, I want to start a barbershop. I need a loan or something. Okay, we're the Republicans, you know. We'll take our stereotype of being, although it is really Democrats, but we'll take our stereotype of being money and we'll find you some somewhere.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So go into the community and just get to know them and work with them. Right? And then you wouldn't lose 90% of your parishioners. The problem is you can't go into a community and ask them and tell them how you think they should vote when you don't know how they live, you don't know how they work, you don't know how they engage. It's the same thing when I used to witness souls for Christ. I've been a minister since I was 14 years old. I got ordained at 18. And when I was doing church planting, witnessing souls, the best time I did is I never talked about Jesus. I just went and was a human being. Mm-hmm. And people would say, well, you're nice, you're this, you're that, what's going on? I'd say, hey, we have a church just starting. Oh. And they ask you and let them open the door instead of trying to shove your foot in the door.
Sure, sure. Talk to me about there's probably three hot topics, and I have Horace Cooper and his organization on my program regularly. I interact. I have a legendary hip hop guy, Money B.
Oh, wow.
is on my program.
I didn't know he's still alive.
Money B is on my program. His partner just passed away.
All right. Okay.
But Digital Underground. He's on with me.
Yeah.
We're both. Yeah, right, exactly. And we're both Bay Area guys, Bay Area kids, coming from different sides of this perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we chop it up, you know, trying to deal with, you know, the race differences and the race issues and what have you. So talk to me about, three hot topics that we've talked about. The BLM message.
Yeah.
CRT.
Yeah.
And then this new thing with Juneteenth and the underlying issues that are there.
Well, so for us, when we address, BLM, Black Lives Matter.
Sure.
Black Lives Matter is a part of the old, it's the same argument, and CRT falls within the same thing. CRT, I would say there's CRT and Black Lives Matter is like the implementation arm, right? And for me, it's this old Marxist argument, basically the old, I don't want to get too intellectual here, but the old argument.
Go wherever you need to go. We're
bourgeoisie
all over the board.
And proletariat.
Yeah.
If you remember basic, for your listeners, the basic bourgeoisie and the worker proletariat.
Yep.
They've just recast that and put race on top of it. So instead of saying bourgeoisie and proletariat, right, you have the privileged and non-privileged. It's the same argument that the Marxists make. Right. And so BLM is just trying to implement that argument. And to do that, right, to argue that there's this aristocracy class of people that have all the privilege and everybody else is just trying and everybody else is the man, if you will, has their boot on your neck. To make that argument, then you have to break down police state. You can't have a rule of law. You can't have, and so that's what, you know, Black Lives Matter is about.
Well, and the family, because, I mean, initially, and of course they pulled that down now, but I mean, initially they were like, we don't want the patriarchal family. We want to continue. And to me, one of the biggest issues, and even Money B from his perspective, one of the biggest issues in the Black community is the breakdown of family. 79% of children born are born without a father.
It's the biggest issue. It is not. It is the biggest issue. It is not crime. It is not money. It is a breakdown of the family. Because if you have the family, the biggest success indicators are having a job, getting married, staying married.
Yes, sir.
Those are the biggest. Those are the biggest success indicators.
And when the kids that come from that have the greatest level of opportunity,
they have the greatest level. It just economically, it's better because you have two incomes. Mm-hmm. You have two people thinking. It can be stressful for a single mother or a single dad.
Absolutely.
So you're 100%. Family is the biggest issue facing internally. There's external issues too, but the biggest issue is internally facing the Black community. And you're right. BLM had that up to pull it down. Critical race theory is interesting because basically what critical race theory does is it rejects sort of the Western civilization, which is based in family.
There you go.
Which is based in family.
Yeah.
So it's just another way for them to attack
reinforce
family.
Reinforce that.
Yeah. It's just another way.
Yeah, to reinforce
that. And by the way, anyone, this stuff that these guys argue in the tech world and stuff, they don't live their lives this way. That's how you know. Snoop Dogg, I think, lived in Texas, and his kids went to a great... If you notice, all of these individuals that argue this stuff, look at how they live their lives.
Right. Well, it's like Bill Gates. Bill and Melinda never let their kids on the internet.
Right. Steve Jobs. So that's what I'm saying. And then you go to their houses, they have giant walls.
Hello.
With security guards.
Hello.
And guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
hello.
They don't. What it's very. So very true. Look at the lives that the people are telling you how you should live. Look at how they're living.
Mm hmm.
LeBron James has been with the same woman since high school.
Yeah.
So why is he back in the CRT? What are you talking about?
Why is he investing in China where they're harvesting organs?
Right. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
I mean,
he built his career on merit. Are you going to go against merit?
Yeah.
Greg Popovich, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Popovich, he has built his career and his life is getting the best of the best of the best.
Right.
And honing that talent. And then all of a sudden you want to say, oh, no, it's, you know, it's racist. Working hard is racist. These guys are the hardest working people, athletes in the world. Oh, no, that's white folks stuff. This is crazy.
Yeah. No, it's out there. Well, I can tell you, years back, my wife and I moved back to California from Florida. And we lived with my mom for a year. We had two small kids, and we were working on getting out. And I was an elder in the church. And the church said, you know what? You should get some help. I got a job, but it wasn't enough to cover, you know, rent and what have you. We reached out to try and get some assistance.
Yeah.
They told my wife, Audrey, they said, if you'll get a divorce.
Jeez.
We had two little kids. If you'll get a divorce, we'll pay for her housing. We'll give her cash aid. We'll give her food. And they'll have medical coverage. Jeez. And life will be grand. But you got to get a divorce, and you can't be in the house.
That's insane.
1990, brother. 1990.
We're not even talking about the 70s and the 60s. We're talking about
1990.
That's, and we wonder why there's a problem
with
why there's a problem.
So, how do we wean? Because George Dallas McKinney, Bishop George Dallas McKinney, just passed away.
Yeah.
St. Stephen's was a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book called The New Slave Master.
Yeah.
And he was talking about this welfare, you know, Lyndon Johnson's plan. And we know what Lyndon Johnson said. You know, if I can put this through, they'll vote for us for 100 years.
Yeah.
In regards to that, how do we break that? How do we wean off and get men, Black men in particular, to step back up and realize who God has called them to be in that relationship?
Well, I think there's several things. First of all, pastors, I don't want to get anybody in
trouble. Oh, no, you do it.
But pastors have got to stop being weak.
Come on.
One thing that God exposed using the pandemic is the weakness of the clergy.
Come on.
I've never seen in my life such a weak, liver lip, milly mouth, won't stand up for the word clergy. That's crazy to me.
Come on.
Donald Trump spent most of his life in sin and and could stand up better than pastors who preach the word every day. You know, yeah. I'm reminded 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have no pastors that know the word. I'm sorry.
Listen.
We got you and maybe three others.
You should. Listen, I can't get an invitation to an American church. I can't get an invitation because they because I'm going to call it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it out.
So that's one thing. So getting pastors that understand the word, getting churches and church leadership that understand what their role in the community is. Your job is not, although you're going to talk about politics, your job is not elections. Your job is not, that's not your job. Your job is to help the community and lead souls to Christ. We lift up singers. We lift up choirs. We lift up everything. Where's the cross? Right. I'm old fashioned. I believe in the blood of Jesus redeeming men.
Well, and then I will say this, though, that if you have that biblical worldview and you understand that we're a constitutional republic, then the people that you're going to vote for, because you are going to get involved,
exactly.
But the people you're going to vote for are going to look like you, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to stop this nonsense of thinking that every politician is a crook and a liar and a thief. Well, of course he is, because that's who you're voting for. What you'll accept. I mean, you wouldn't let that person sleep in your guest room.
I've said it 100 times. People are like, I can't believe we have all this national debt. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, the average American has $16,000 of credit card debt. So of course we have national debt. If we can't manage ourselves personally, we sure can't do it at a national level. So we shouldn't be surprised. Then the next thing you do, Pastor, the next thing you do is you have to go for policy. When Republicans get elected to office, they need to go and pass real policy. Do what the Democrats do.
Don't be afraid.
Just jam it down their throats and say, I'm sorry, we're retooling this welfare state to incentivize marriage, to incentivize fathers being in the home.
Which is what Trump started to do.
Started to do, yeah.
Dr. Ben Carson.
So that's what you do, and you've got to do it from day one. We had 2 years where we had Paul Ryan, we had Mitch McConnell in the Senate, and we had President Trump. Mm-hmm. And other than tax reform, which was barely done. Other than tax reform, they didn't do anything.
Right.
They didn't do anything. Biden's got in office. There's so many executive orders, so many stuff. That's what you need to do, what they call a blitzkrieg. So the day you know you're going to get inaugurated, 3 or 4 months out, you need to have all of the executive orders, the legislation, and throw everything at them. You're going to lose. You throw 2,000 things, you lose 2.
Right.
Because the Democrats won't be able to keep up.
Right.
So that's what you need to do on policy front. And then we, at the personal front, what we need to do is engage each other. And I'm going to go back to the Bible on this. We need to engage each other in love. When I say each other, I mean each other internally. We spend a lot of time infighting. Twitter, Facebook, who's doing this? Who said this? This person got this show. We need to engage each other with love and engage each other with respect.
And support. And find others like-minded that are doing what we're doing, so we can reach a larger. And we're gonna take a quick break.
Okay,
we're gonna come back. We got about 4 minutes left here with our good friend Autry Pruitt and folks, and because I want them to know how to reach you.
Okay,
where to find you, where to get engaged with you, and I'm gonna bring up a name of a dear friend of mine that I have got to introduce you to.
All right.
So we're gonna make that happen. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Live from CPAC, Dallas, Texas. Back after this.
Now back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And this is Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for tuning in. I so greatly appreciate it. Did you know Matthew 10 tells us, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I want to encourage you in this Thanksgiving time that God has a plan, has a purpose, and He's working it out. And He wants you to be a part of it. And you can through Jesus Christ, His Son. If you've never professed faith in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that today. Simply pray this prayer. Father, please forgive me for all my sins. Take them away from me and help me to become the person that you created me to be. I desire to have relationship with you. And I ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of my life. I put my faith in Him and I believe on the promises that you've made. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, reach out to me and let me know. I'd love to hear from you today. And know this, we are God's chosen generation, chosen for such a time as this. And every day when you listen to the program and you hear the opening that we play, that is a reminder of who you and I are. God bless you and have a great rest of your day.
Hi, this is Michael, creator of Michael's MNP supplements. Let's talk energy. Do you wake up tired even after a full night's sleep? Does keeping up with your family and or your job leave you exhausted by noon? Do you find yourself turning way too early in the day and too often to caffeine-loaded drinks just to get you through it all? Why not turn to Michael's MNP's Energy Factors instead? Our Energy Factors are safe, healthy, and a natural way to keep your body energized and without that caffeine crash that you get from those laden drinks. Visit us today at michaelshealth.com.
This is Pastor Greg, and I use Energy Factors. They're great. Order yours today at michaelshealth.com. That's michaelshealth.com. And use Pastor Greg for your special discount. That's Pastor Greg, and get your special discount today. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, live here in CPAC 2021 in Dallas, Texas. And I'm sitting across from a brand new friend and so pleased to meet him. Autry Pruitt is with us, New American Foundation. New American Foundation, New Journey. Yes, it's very close. We're close to that. Give them the website real quick.
NewJourneyPAC.org. That's NewJourneyPAC.org.
What are you doing, and how can people get involved in that?
Go to NewJourneyPAC.org. We move black voters from the blue column to the red column. That's what we primarily do. We think long term, though, not short term, not slick advertising. We're talking engagement, getting in the communities, talking with people, moving them, and then bringing up ads and messaging, etc.
I have a good friend. His name is Derek Wilburn. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Derek Wilburn. Yes. He does the finance. Yes. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. And then he also has the mentors, the young people from the inner city urban colleges that go to Washington. He's been a friend of mine for years.
What is it called? Conservatives of Color? No.
Well, Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives.
Mountains.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Rocky Mountain. But yes, there is. He has a second title that is yes, conservative is a color.
I do know.
Well, and he's because when you said what you said about being the community, you know, I can't get the RNC just to show up and just be there, go to their events,
right.
You know, march in their parades, yeah. Just be a part of the fabric. I mean, I've heard Derek talk about this for years. For years. And then I was thinking about what he does by taking, you know, urban students from urban colleges and having them mentor with conservatives. And he checks them out to make sure they're actually conservatives, not rhinos, but conservatives in D.C.
Yeah.
And how at the end of that, they have an entirely different view of conservatism. And I think that's what you're talking about is you know, it's not that they're going to, they actually want what we've got.
Yeah.
They just don't know it because they don't know what we've got because nobody's in the neighborhood, you know, leading them to it.
Right, right. That's not true.
So, I mean, and of course, now we have the left has really elevated the whole black-white thing, right?
Yeah.
So how does a guy like me get into that community, if you will?
I would.
What would be the steps?
Well, I think you have a lot of inroads because of the churches. But I think if you're in the church world, it's surprising. I talked to one pastor. There was a First Baptist church that was like 99% white. Then there was this black National Baptist church that was about 10 miles down the road. And they had never done a fellowship event together.
Wow.
So that's
simple as that.
That's just do a fellowship. You have to talk politics,
right?
Just fellowship about the blood of God.
Yeah. Go into a barber shop.
That's correct. Just go in there.
Walk into a grocery store, buy some groceries.
I was in Louisiana, and that's what I said. I said, listen, you need a haircut? Go to a black barber shop, sit down, talk. You don't talk politics. Just
get to know them.
Just start engaging and talking, shaking hands. Yeah. Build a relationship.
Kind of like Jesus.
Right.
All right. Hey, I'm so glad to have had you here. Thanks again. Website, real quick.
www.newjourneypack.org. NewJourneyPack, PAC.org.
NewJourneyPack. org. Autry Pruitt, it's a blessing to know you, sir. Thanks for being here.
God,
I hope that we'll get to do this again. I'm out of time. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio right after this.
They're calling it the new socialism. More and more Democratic lawmakers want everyone to get a basic income, even if they don't work. Free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism and its leaders like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't worry, you can still get a healthcare program by signing up at Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, we are not insurance, so you can still sign up. You can pick your program, choose your own doctors and hospitals. We have programs for singles, couples, and families, all with no contract, starting at only $349 per month. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chosen Generation Radio. When God called me to start this program 8 years ago, he led me to address three main topics while discussing current events through a biblical lens. I knew this was not supposed to be a preaching program, as there are a number of those on the radio. My calling was to address the LGBTQ agenda, Islam, and secular humanism. Just some non-controversial stuff. Secular humanism, which simply stated says man is the center and human reason has all the answers, and to leave God out of it. This indoctrination is really at the core of the shift in understanding America's founding, Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. By removing God and biblical values, it's easy to see how gender dysphoria, unnatural sexual desires, and embracing a confused 7th century belief that rejects life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, namely Islam, a militant, geopolitical, totalitarian, and brutal regime, has taken root. I believe God has chosen this generation to ignite the passion to advance the radical message of the gospel and to once again establish America as the salt and light through which the message is advanced. Each segment applies that principle, no matter the topic. But how do we become this secular, democratic, non-theistic, top-down country run by a combination of demagoguery and elitism? I would suggest we examine our history. At America's founding, we had been oppressed by a tyrant king, claimed he actually spoke for God, and claimed a divine right monarchy. In order to set people free from these kind of despot leaders, one must reconnect the people with the one who grants all freedom. And so, preachers in the mid-1700s challenged the Christians in America to decide whom they should serve. Who was their king? Was it a man on a throne across the sea? Or was it the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? You cannot serve two masters. As the founders fermented in this, they began to see the need to create a new kind of country, a nation that valued life and recognized God as the author, who had been set free to liberty in Christ and to pursue abundant life. No, these weren't pieces on a board passed to one and not to another, as John Locke suggested, but rather they were a very part of who being American was, a concept only understood through biblical glasses as a blood-bought son of God and heir to the promise. So why are Christians so docile? You see, we live in a world filled with sin that has taken a stand to call God the enemy. We are children of God, heirs to the promise, yet we stand idly by as our brothers and sisters are slaughtered and our children's innocence is destroyed. Where's the anger and the rage at such atrocities? Jesus said it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus warned them not to cause harm or offense to the little ones, to the least of these. It would be better than a millstone were cast around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. That's not docile in the face of offense being done to children. This is Jesus speaking, the one that they say only speaks soft, lovely words. Or what about these verses? If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Wow. To the leaders of the church, he says, you are sons of the devil. You are deaf and unable to hear or understand the words of God because you do not know him. Yet day after day, Christians sit back silently while little boys are chemically castrated, while children's minds are violated in a comprehensive sex education curriculum, while they are taught that America equals Christianity equals all white people are bad and they should be ashamed. Let's be clear. If you believe in the truth of the Bible, then you believe that all are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. That God in his grace and mercy, while we were his enemies, doing all forms of vile behavior, sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins, to lay down his perfect and sinless life as a human being, having set aside his divine nature to become a man so he could take our place and overcome sin and death on the cross. Jesus the Christ shed his blood, died on the cross, rose the third day, set free the captives, presented himself to the disciples and to several thousand, and then ascended to heaven, at which point the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to lead us into all truth. Ultimately, then, we understand that sin is the issue and the nature of man. The key, then, is a confession of faith in God through Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sin. I believe that we have been called, and it is the purpose of Chosen Generation Radio to raise up a generation to take back this nation, to reestablish a constitutional republic with Jesus Christ at its core, providing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, and once again advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. I thank you so much for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, again, we are live here at CPAC 2021 in Dallas, Texas. CPAC 2021, Dallas, Texas. Great to be with you. And it's just a joy. And I'm very pleased to welcome Latinos for America, first formerly known as Latinos for Trump. And I want to welcome Maria Miller to the program. Maria, welcome. You are like the seismic center of so many great things that are happening in the Latino community, but not just in the Latino community. Regarding awareness on border issues that are happening, immigration issues that are happening, loved ones that are lost, all of these things, and really espousing so well conservative values. Welcome.
Thank you, Pastor, for having me back. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you again. So here we are. We're sitting here at CPAC.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of networking, seeing everything that's going on, talking to a lot of people. And I want to share with you something that what I've been hearing that's resonating with me, but what's being echoed through the various platforms and the various influencers that I'm running into and candidates and just people in general that are saying to me and to people within my organization, our organization, is that the Latino community needs to unite and come together and help push this conservative movement over the finish line. 2022 is coming up. We're going to have 2024, and it's vitally important that the Latino community stand up, speak out, get involved, whatever capacity you're able to get involved in. Anybody can do something. Everybody can do something. Yeah. Whether it's at your local level, I heard you interviewing some people earlier. I've been sitting in on some of the speakers in the room next to us. They're all spreading the same message. I keep hearing it repeated over and over. And so I took a moment to myself and I prayed and I said, God, I know that you brought us here for a purpose. Yeah. And that purpose is because we all are hearing the same message. We have to unite. The media is doing their darnest to cause division, to cause chaos, to cause confusion. The sure. devil is hard at work. He's dancing the jig. You know, there's so many things that are happening. Let's start with Texas. You know, what we're suffering. The crisis at the border, the invasion at the border. You had a few of my fellow board of directors members on, Victor Avila, Myra Gutierrez, and Anthony Aguero, and the president, Bianca Gracia. They all shared a little, different stories, different experiences of things that we see what is happening and what is going on. And so I just want to say to the listeners and to the audience that tunes into your program is that, you know, yes, we are Latinos for Trump, Latinos for America first, but we're Americans first. Mm-hmm. And we are Christians. And our value system is aligned with what the Bible teaches us. You know, and everybody talks about, being PC. No, we're not PC. And you can't say this and you can't say that. And you can't use this word and that word. The only word that we stand by, Pastor, is the Word of God.
I'm glad you're bringing that up because I want to continue down that line. My sense over the last, 8 to 10 years has been that there has been a friction within the conservative, quote unquote conservative. And I think that's where we get a lot of our rhinos from and our establishment and so on. But a friction between that true biblical valued message, which I think without it, you don't have conservatism.
The values of conservatism are the Bible. That's where they come from. Yet there's been this, oh, we want to distance it. Oh, well, you guys are religious, or you guys are right-wing religious, this, that, or the other. Like it's an embarrassing thing to be named amongst Christ, to be named amongst Bible-believing people.
I own it. I would rather stand before God and be judged by Him and have man turn their back on me than to side with man and have God turn His back on me. And I want to share something with you. I didn't tell you before we're doing this recording, okay, but I feel I trust you. I admire you. I think you're a wonderful pastor. You're a man. You truly are a man of the Word. But there's something I've been witnessing here at CPAC, Pastor, and I got to share it with you, and I'm going to share it with your audience.
Okay.
Bruce Jenner's here.
I know.
And you've got the perfect spot right here near the entrance. And I'm going to say this, and I don't care if somebody calls me a bigot or if somebody calls me transphobic. I don't care. I'm going to tell you what I witnessed. When he comes around, and he is a man.
Yes.
Have you noticed the cameras start clicking and the crowds rush to him and everybody is looking at him as if
he is a hero.
A big celebrity. But when I look at him, here's what I think. Wow, I remember when I was a little kid and I used to look up to him when he was an Olympic champion.
Yes.
And that's what I see when I look at him. That's who I remember. What he has become now, I don't know what it is. I can only pray for him.
It's a freak show.
Yeah. And I noticed it yesterday, and I noticed it again today.
I heard from my daughter.
And so I had a conversation with a fellow conservative that was here. Bruce Jenner came by, was at the booth next to ours, and the camera frenzy, the people were going up, they're doing selfies, they're doing... And I told my friend, I said, hey, she said, what's going on right there? I said, it's Bruce Jenner. She said, Caitlyn Jenner? I said, well, you call her Caitlyn if you want, but I'm going to call her Bruce. I said, because I don't play into that. I will not buy into it. I'm not going to. I said, I'm going to bow out gracefully from his run for governor in California. I said, everybody is saying the same thing. Oh, but he's got a strong message. And, oh, he's talking about, you know, the economy. And he's talking about, you know, all these issues. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are all wonderful talking points. But the truth of the matter is, I still don't agree with what he's done. And I'm going to stand by God's word on that. Man, God created him as a man.
Yeah.
And that's my position on it, Pastor. And forgive me if I'm taking over your program and bringing this issue up. But I'm going to tell you, I told my friend, I'm going to take God's side on this one. And I'm just not going to be one of those that follows him around. And, oh, I want to get a selfie. And, oh, can I get your autograph? I'm not going to do it because I don't celebrate that about him. I don't. And California is in for a big, big surprise if they think that electing him as their next governor is going to save their state. I've got, you know, a few things to say about that.
No, I agree. Well,
I want to hear what your position is on that.
Let me add to that, because I announced on my radio show before I got here, be prepared, I might get arrested in Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I didn't know that was going to show up here. I mm-hmm. said on my show, there's no way a Christian can vote for that.
Exactly.
There's no way that a Christian can vote for that.
That's like we call out the Catholics
But here's something else. We also can't support the log cabin Republicans.
Agreed.
If you're Richard Grenell, and he was sitting right here next to us a little while ago, mm-hmm. earlier today, you know, and you're doing a job, I'm not going to deny you the ability to be able to do the job. And if you do the job with excellence, I'm going to say, hey, good job. That's great. But if you're here to try to promote your lifestyle as an agenda, then I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry. That doesn't belong here.
Right.
And I know for a fact that there are a lot of faith and family-minded patriots that are not here at CPAC today, right now, today, because they feel that CPAC has sold out to a perverted agenda, and so they've started their own movement.
Right. I agree with that. And like I said, just in my personal observation, mm-hmm. I've walked around the exhibit hall. I've gone into the room next door to listen to the speakers. I pay attention. I people watch. Mm-hmm. And I tell my friends and I tell people within my organization, if we're going to stand here and promote ourselves as a faith-based Christian organization, then we need to stand true to our word. What are we promoting? What are we supporting? What do we believe in? And I'm speaking as an individual when I say what I said about Bruce Jenner. I, as a Christian, I love and pray for him. That's all I can say.
Right.
You know, but as far as his running for governor in California, you know, in the beginning he was saying that he was going to oppose the gender transitioning, chemical castration or whatever of minors, and then the LGBTQ A through Z alphabet people came after him, and then he flip-flopped on it, and I thought, okay, pay attention.
That's it.
Pay attention.
There you go.
If he's going to flip that easily on a very, very serious, controversial subject,
absolutely.
What else is he going to flip on if he were to be elected?
Yes.
You know, and, you know, sometimes you don't see the forest for the trees, and I just like to approach things with caution, stand back, try to see the whole picture. And that's, you know, that's why we're in the situation we're in now.
Yes.
With some of the elected officials that are in office.
Compromise.
And you and I have had conversations. I can't think of any time that I've never agreed with you, Pastor. I think we see things through the same spectrum. And so I respect you for that. But, I mean, this is just what's going on here in CPAC. I mean, for the most part, it's been a pleasurable experience.
Yes.
But that is here. That is happening. And me, myself personally, and several people within my organization, we don't support that.
Well, and that in its present form is not something you should give this stage to.
I don't celebrate it. Right.
They don't belong on this stage. Now, I don't know if they have been or if they are or whatever, but they definitely don't deserve a speaker spot.
I didn't check the full agenda to see if he was given one, but I do know that he's been making the rounds.
Yeah.
He has been going to several of the booths in Radio Row doing interviews. He was doing one down the row here. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that happened.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I would have a conversation, but the conversation would be, you know, I'm not in agreement. You know, whatever woundedness has transpired, whatever injuries or hurts have caused you to feel this way, you know, that's what needs to be addressed.
I agree. And a lot of times when we speak, Christians like us that speak our minds about it, people that believe that, you know, the Lord, you know, he formed us in our mother's wombs.
Yeah.
When you try to engage in a conversation with a transgender individual or an LGBTQ individual, mm-hmm. you know, they try to guilt you and they try to shame you and try to say that you're not tolerant and you're a bigot, and they throw all these labels at you and they'll say you don't want to accept us the way we are. And my answer to that is, my dear, you don't accept you the way you are. God created you in his image.
Yeah.
God created you to be a man or to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the one who is not accepting, not me. I stand firmly in God's word. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life, but I own up to them. And I don't say, well, I think God's not right on this one. I'm right on this one. You're never going to hear me say that. God is God. Well, man is man.
We don't celebrate. Oh, we got to take a break. We'll be back right after this brief break. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't worry, you can still get a healthcare program by signing up at Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, we are not insurance, so you can still sign up. You can pick your program, choose your own doctors and hospitals. We have programs for singles, couples, and families, all with no contract, starting at only $349 per month. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg. libertyhealthshare.org/Pastor Greg.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My guest is Maria Miller, and she is with Latinos for America First. And it's my pleasure. What is your, do you have like an official title?
I'm the second vice president, national coordinator for
okay.
the organization.
All right, there we go. And website?
Website, LatinoTrumpCoalition.org, lowercase, no spaces.
Okay.
LatinoTrumpCoalition.org.
Excellent. All right, we're talking about, you know, the Christian values, biblical values, the importance of those. You know, what did Jesus say? Because it's not an Old Testament concept, what you were talking about Bruce Jenner, what we're talking about, you know, what's being embraced and what the values are. But you wanted to share something on air.
Well,
go ahead.
So in a nutshell, you know, I told you what I've witnessed, what I've observed being
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And so what occurred to me, and it's a saying that I've heard repeated through the social media platforms, and I've seen some memes shared about it, and it's a simple one sentence, but it has such a strong impact. What has happened to our nation? What is happening in our nation? What has happened with the nuclear family?
Yeah.
Is that God was removed from the public schools, from the halls of government, and now we are living in a society where everybody is focused and more concerned about not offending each other instead of being worried about not offending God. And
Amen.
You think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that, just that simple statement that I just made. What if we all started focusing on not offending God and honoring God instead of honoring ourselves or honoring the color of our skin and honoring, you know, our gender and honoring whatever pronoun we want to go by or identify as? I mean, what if we all just started focusing on honoring God and doing the right thing?
You know what? Being your best is what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is a biblical principle.
Yes.
Do everything as unto the Lord. The
exactly.
very best you can do it. As you're talking about that, and I know we're going to run out of time here, but, you know, I believe that part of the problem is libertarianism,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the adoption of John Locke as the founder of our nation. John Locke was not the founder of America. John Locke's philosophies were not the beginning. That is nature's law and natural law. It's not nature. It's not natural. It's God.
Exactly.
Okay? So get nature out of your head. Get natural out of your head and start thinking about whose laws those are. They're God's laws.
Absolutely.
Okay? And he's not nature's God either, by the way. Okay? That's some tree, mm-hmm. okay, that a bunch of druids worship. We don't worship trees in a forest.
Right.
We worship the living God, the only
Amen.
Living God. And the reason that our founders would lay down their lives, the reason that they would literally shed blood for this country to begin, is because they believed that life was something that was in them given by God, that liberty was something that was in them bought on the cross by Jesus Christ, that they believe that that idea of happiness or the abundance or the fullness of life was something that God had given them. These were inalienable because they were given by God and could never be taken. You had to literally rip the soul out of someone to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, masking, shutdowns, this is an attempt to steal your soul. And we better understand that the left believes their communism, their Marxism. Gordon Chang talked about it. The evil that is on the other side, on China. It's all a part of the same satanic realm. And the only thing that's going to win that is God and Christians and belief in Christ and taking our rightful authority. And we're out of time. But I love you,
thank
sister.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless
so
you.
So glad to be with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back with more after this.
What's this? Beans again.
Did somebody say hungry? Pistol Pete's Jerky at PistolPete'sJerky.com. A herd of delicious flavors. Break Bronco busting hunger. Lasso up your order at PistolPete'sJerky.com.
Thanks, Pistol Pete.
I made it myself. PistolPete'sJerky.com. Tell them Pete sent you.
PistolPete'sJerky.com is the official beef jerky of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. When you place your order, you'll receive two free U.S. Constitutions and a U.S. flag sticker. One Constitution for you to read cover to cover and the second to pass on to your friends, family, or loved ones. Go to PistolPete'sJerky.com and use discount code CGR to get an additional 10% off. PistolPete'sJerky.com and place your order today.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for tuning in. I do know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, we're live in Dallas, Texas, CPAC 2021. And it is happening down here, and I'm really pleased to welcome my next guest. It's, gosh, I'm thinking that it was, yeah, before you were the acting attorney general, because we met at CPAC in D.C.
Did.
Probably about 6 years ago, five, six years ago, somewhere along in that time frame. Obama was the president.
Yeah. No, I was with the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust.
Yeah.
You were one of the first radio interviews I did on Radio Row for my first CPAC. It seems like a million years ago, but we've stayed in touch ever since.
And yes, we have.
When I saw you yesterday, like, you got to come on my show. I was like, of course I'm going to. And then, you know, I got people that, you know, have to schedule me now because I can't be responsible for my own schedule. So.
Well, it is a joy to have you, brother. Yeah. And as you know, I mean, when things were happening and I would see, you know, issues going on, I'd send you a quick text and say, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. You know.
And I talk about this a lot, especially when I'm in my home state of Iowa, and I'd give a lot of speeches around the state. And, you know, it was those prayer warriors, those people that were, you could just feel, you know, it was like you were all like lifted by wings because of all the people that were, you know, praying and just really, you know, concerned about, you know, because it's those positions. And I know President Trump uniquely understands this as well. When nothing's above your pay grade and there's 110,000 other people in the Department of Justice that won't make a decision, so you have to, you know, it's pretty lonely. And at the same time, you know, faith, it really, you know, carries you through. So
plays a role.
So thank you for
that. And I want to say this publicly because I want it on record too. Matt, you are truly one of the good guys, one of the guys with tremendous principle and integrity.
Yeah. And, well, my youngest son is here, and I'm not sure he'd agree with you, but I appreciate that.
You know what?
Pastor Greg.
He will in about 10 years.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know, he will in about 10 years. He'll say, doggone, Dad was right.
We'll see. Hopefully sooner than that.
That's how that works. I got a 32-year-old and a 30-year-old plus the other three, so I understand that. But I appreciate that. You served
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I mean, it's... I'm you know, walking a path that nobody's ever walked before because it's uniquely my life. But you know, I've really treasured, you know, sort of these opportunities. You know, I saw President Trump about a month ago now. I went up to New York and sat down with him and had a great chat. And you know, not everybody gets to do that. And I appreciate those opportunities. I mean, obviously, I've served for about 25% of my life in the Department of Justice as a U.S. attorney and as acting attorney general. And I just, you know, those kind of opportunities are, you know, treasure them.
Sure. Well, one of the challenges, I mean, for those patriots and supporters of the president was a sense that, you know, after you had left, that the Department of Justice was not in his corner. It was not helping him in the way that we would have expected. And that doesn't mean that we want, I guess, you know, you don't want an attorney general that's just a yes man. Well, okay, no. But you want an attorney general that's at least on the same page or in the same book as the president that he's serving. Can you speak to any of that?
No, I mean, all I can say is that obviously President Trump chose Jeff Sessions to be his first attorney general. A lot of people, I think, felt that that was not a good fit. And then, obviously, the president had me in the interim before he chose Bill Barr to finish out that term. And I think it matters, obviously, who the attorney general is and their relationship with the president. It's a very difficult job. Anybody that's held it knows that. You know, if you think about the portfolio, I mean, it's massive. And plus, you're giving all the legal advice to the executive branch. To all the departments within the executive branch, and so it is. It's a big mission. It's a big portfolio, and at the same time, you know, there's no. I think it's one of the really interesting departments, and you know, within inside the executive branch, because you know you get all the law enforcement, the FBI, DEA, ATF, U.S. Marshals. You also have the Bureau of Prisons, and then you have the U.S. attorneys and kind of everything that comes with that. And so you're just your issues are massive, and you got a huge national security international portfolio that took me, you know, I went to several trips to Europe. I went to Colombia when I was acting attorney general to meet with the president and the attorney general of Colombia to try to work on their drug trafficking issues.
Mm-hmm.
That continued to haunt the country of Colombia even after the FARC peace agreement was made. And you know, it just is really you know, again, it's a neat place, but to your point, I think that unfortunately, at times it sure seemed like the Department of Justice was working against President Trump instead of with him to try to accomplish his agenda, which was lawful and legitimate and appropriate.
Well, and let me kind of carve some of that out too. In defenses of, as you said, you know, I'm not sure that Jeff Sessions didn't get bamboozled to some degree and I think all of us couldn't believe what they actually did, what was done, what Mueller, you know, got away with and what he did. I've got a friend named John Malkovich that wrote a book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. And he just pulls on public documentation and all the things that man was involved in.
Yeah, the challenge is the president of the United States, no matter what party, deserves an attorney general that has a unified command of the Department of Justice. So one person is head. And what happened when Jeff Sessions recused is then Rod Rosenstein had, you know, essentially was the acting attorney general for purposes of the Mueller investigation, the Russia investigation. And so you had this sort of two-headed monster, and it just never, you know, I got there after a lot of those decisions were made in October of 2017, and the die had been cast. But it was a very difficult management structure. You know, I think, you know, again, history records sort of what happened and why it happened. But, you know, very early on, you know, before the president got his people all in place and before General Sessions got all his people in place, I think some very critical decisions were made. And that sort of set a direction that, you know, kind of ended up causing a lot of the, you know, challenges we faced, especially related to the, you know, Mueller investigation. So it's, you know,
That was kind of administrative wide. I mean, when you look at the State Department as an example, I have a friend who went to work for the State Department as a Trump appointee.
Right.
That when they found out he was a Trump appointee, they got him fired.
Doesn't surprise me.
You know, I mean, you know, and he speaks to that there were basically three factions. There was the establishment faction, the ones that testified in the Ukraine impeachment drama, that acted as though they were the ones that were in charge of our foreign policy, and the president had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And then there was Rex's people.
Yep.
And then there was you know, a third element, a very small element that was going to be loyal to the president, that essentially was rooted out.
Yeah, my message to all those bureaucrats that think somehow that the president isn't completely in charge of the foreign policy and all of the policies of the executive branch and the United States government, they should go run for president. Because you know what? The American people elected Donald Trump to be president for those 4 years.
Yeah.
And he should have been given the ability to implement, you know, his worldview. And ultimately he did. He put the right people in the right places, and we got a lot of those things accomplished. I think about all the success we had, for example, on the border.
Sure.
We you know, essentially made and had worked with Mexico so they deployed their military to prevent the illegal crossings.
Amazing.
And then we had the Remain in Mexico policy, which the people that are applying for asylum didn't have a free pass to come to the United States, and then 6 months later were qualified for a green card that, you know, put them on a path to work in the United States while their asylum claim pending, right. And then they never show up. I mean, again, I just was, you know, some of this stuff is still pretty raw for me.
No, I understand.
Especially since it's all being undone, and we finally had a fixed and jumped through all the hoops and contorted ourselves and pretzeled ourselves into this way to, within the law, even though it's broken, the within the law, you know, we implemented a really good system for managing the border, right. And they've completely screwed it up.
J. Christian Adams talked about this. He spent, and I know you, I know you know him. You know, he spent a year with Obama before he and Hans, I believe, both were like, God, we're done with this. But he, you know, wrote in his book and talked about how Obama really fundamentally changed the Department of Justice. And so when President Trump brought in Jeff Sessions and then yourself, you were kind of a small squad, if you will, a special forces group that had landed kind of in foreign territory.
Yeah, you're right. However, I look at, you know, we took over several cases in midstream, and by working with the head of the Office of Legal Counsel, Steve Engel, and Noel Francisco, who is the Solicitor General, we flipped positions in four cases.
Awesome.
All four of those cases we won at the Supreme Court. And so, you know, you think about sort of the way we took control and actually made the right decisions for the right reason. And I think we, you know, the record of success is going to stand the test of time. But there is no doubt. Listen, there are, you know, there are a lot of lawyers, especially at the Department of Justice, that are Democrats. I mean, they're Democrat donors. I'm not,
I think
I'm not
like 1,500.
I'm not exposing anything that doesn't, isn't
right.
public information. But it's just, you know, again, I think especially on some of President Trump's most sensitive agenda items, they were slow rolling us and slow walking and otherwise not helping us implement the vision. We had people step off cases where they couldn't, you know, were unwilling to make the argument in court. We had people quit their jobs because, you know, they were being asked to do something, which was very much within the law and within, you know, sort of the range of reasonableness. These were not kind of crazy ideas that we were trying to implement.
Right.
Were they conservative? Sure. Were they consistent with the law? Absolutely. And, you know, I just think about how many times, you know, we just had to work against, you know, our own people to try to get things done at the Department of Justice. It was very frustrating, but, you know, I got up every morning, know that it's just, you know, you got to
do what you
whatever's,
can do.
You know, the obstacle is the way.
Whatever's in front of you, that's the thing you handle. A lot of people are concerned. A lot of people are concerned about the John Durham investigation and
is
wondering.
Is it still open? Do we know?
Yeah, right. Do you have any sense for?
I don't.
What,
you know, I know John.
Yeah.
I know John. He was the U.S. Attorney in Connecticut. Worked with him, and I have a lot of respect for him. His son, John Durham Jr., is an AUSA up in New York, and is a very good, tough gang prosecutor. Did a lot of MS-13 cases, and so, you know, John Sr., you know, I think was the right person to figure out the Gordian knot that was the origins of the Russian investigation.
Sure.
And try to find, there was no justification or predication for that investigation, and John should get to the bottom of that. What I'm worried about is now that the Biden administration is in control, and now that Merrick Garland is the Attorney General, is that's just never going to see the light of day, because there's no obligation under the special counsel regulations at the Department of Justice that the special counsel reports to the American people. Special counsel reports to the Attorney General, who appointed him, and what the Attorney General does with that information is kind of up to the Attorney General. So John could have given him an oral report, could have given him a written report. We may never know. And the sad thing is that the media is never going to ask, and they're not going
right.
to—they're not going to try to find out. It's very. I think about how responsive we were to the media, and then how this Department of Justice is very arrogant and unwilling to really answer basic questions about some of these things right now under the Biden administration.
While being accused of being secretive, right? You were very transparent about what was going on,
and we'd stand and answer questions, and we were unafraid to justify our decisions.
Sure, absolutely. Talk to me about today. What are we doing? What's Matt Whitaker doing today?
Well, today is in Saturday here at CPAC. I mean, I'm enjoying, I've come to CPAC really ever since we met for, I think, awesome. 6+ years ago. And I get a lot of energy. This is the base of the base, right? I mean, this is like, and we're in Texas, which is kind of the heart of the base. And, in a state that conservative policies are winning out and are making a difference in people's lives.
Sure.
And I think about my home state of Iowa, where the same thing, the legislature that's held by Republicans and conservatives, and the governor who's conservative, and the Supreme Court now is conservative. They're implementing policies that are helping people in their everyday lives. And so, what I'm doing now is I'm back in the private practice of law, and I'm helping some companies and some individuals, work through some very difficult situations, and helping people navigate the law and sort of the, policies that both at a state level with state AG's offices, and then also at the federal level with the Department of Justice. I'm also very excited about the America First Legal group that I'm involved in with Stephen Miller, Mark Meadows, and others, where we're making a serious difference in holding the Biden administration accountable, and making sure that their policies, and many of them which are illegal under the law, are not implemented, and that we've had some recent wins very early in our 3 months of existence, and I'm very excited about that project.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break.
All right.
We're going to come back for 3 minutes. When we come back, if we can, I would really like to get your thoughts on this class action lawsuit that's been filed.
Sure.
And get your opinions on that. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Get more at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper, and since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today, 800-544-8939. 800-544-8939. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today, 800-544-8939.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, this is Michael, creator of Michael's MNP supplements. Let's talk energy. Do you wake up tired even after a full night's sleep? Does keeping up with your family and or your job leave you exhausted by noon? Do you find yourself turning way too early in the day and too often to caffeine-loaded drinks just to get you through it all? Why not turn to Michael's MNP's energy factors instead? Our energy factors are safe, healthy, and a natural way to keep your body energized and without that caffeine crash that you get from those laden drinks. Visit us today at michaelshealth.com.
This is Pastor Greg, and I use Energy Factors. They're great. Order yours today at michaelshealth.com. That's michaelshealth.com, and use Pastor Greg for your special discount. That's Pastor Greg, and get your special discount today.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at PastorGregYoung.org.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. Very excited to be sitting with the former Attorney General. Acting Attorney
of
General
of the United States.
Of the United States of America.
That plus $3 will get you a cup of coffee at a coffee shop.
There you go. I'll buy.
All right.
My and someone that I consider a friend, and I'm honored.
Likewise. Thank you. I'm always ready, willing, able. We've done a lot of interviews over the years and yeah. call-ins and all that kind of stuff. So thank you.
Yeah. No, it's good to have you. Let's talk about this new case, social yeah. media case. The president has filed lawsuit, as I understand, against Mark Zuckerberg, CEO, and Facebook, and Jack Dorsey, CEO, and Twitter. Talk about what we can about that.
Yeah, I think it raises two very interesting issues. The first is the First Amendment issue, and the ability of these social media companies, which control a lot of the discussion, to censor users and content, and so I think that's going to be a case that's going to work its way ultimately up to the Supreme Court, I think, and you know it may set new law based on kind of how these social media companies operate and who they ban and how they bar people from their platforms. The second thing I think is the Section 230 immunity under the Communications Decency Act, and in that case, while I don't think this is necessarily going to be the final blow on Section 230. I think what it's going to do is create the environment that Congress in the very near future is going to amend Section 230 and take away some of some of the immunities from individual lawsuits and liability for banning and otherwise preventing people from communicating.
Is this suit big enough that it could undo the leadership at either one of these companies and their organizations?
Well, in both cases, I think the CEOs have a lot of ownership in the companies and were founders. And so I think it's going to be very difficult. I think what's also going to happen is you could see Congress or the federal government or the states, win some of these antitrust challenges to break them up. Especially, if you look at what Facebook did with, taking over Instagram and taking over WhatsApp and some of these other platforms that they gobbled up for, $1 billion here and $1 billion there. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a reevaluation of some of those, some of that power, some of that consolidation. I mean, if you think about kind of the, three main social media platforms, you got Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And, two of the three are owned by Facebook. And
right.
So it's a very powerful.
It's a monopoly.
Yeah, it is. It's starting to look like a monopoly, right? I mean, this yeah. is, so we'll see. We'll see if there's a politician brave enough to actually do something about it. I mean, sometimes these members of Congress are not the bravest of folks.
I got you. Matt, thank you.
Thank you
for stopping by and visiting with us.
Great to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. Nice to see your son as yeah. well. All right, folks, we're going to take a break.
They're calling it the new socialism. More and more Democratic lawmakers want everyone to get a basic income, even if they don't work. Free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism and its leaders like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza Cotton, for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today, 800-544-8939. 800-544-8939. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today, 800-544-8939.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.